Good morning, my name is John. I want to share with you an experience, an encounter I had with Jesus and the words that he spoke to me, words that gave me hope and peace. This happened one day when I was in the island of Patmos. I had been sent there because I had been preaching about who Jesus was. I suppose I should give you a little bit of background first. So I grew up with a brother, James. My father, Zebedee, was a fisherman. And one day we were out fishing and a man named Jesus came. I'd heard about him. He was a wandering rabbi and he came and he told me to come and to follow him. And so we went and we followed him. We became his disciples. We walked beside him. We learned from him. We watched him do incredible miracles, teach about the kingdom of God. And I imagine if I were to try to write down everything that I saw and experienced, I'd probably fill every book in the world. We were watching and his life and all that he was teaching. But then one day, things took a turn for the worse. One of his closest followers, one of our compatriots, our friends, betrayed him. He was handed over to the religious leaders, to the Roman authorities, and they executed Jesus. They took him and they hung him on a cross on a Friday. We sat through that weekend wondering. And then on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, while it was still dark, one of the women from our group, she went to the tomb and she came back and she told us, she said, he's not there. He's gone. And so Peter, one of the other disciples, and I raced to the tomb and Peter went in and then I looked in and I saw Jesus' grave clothes laying there and I knew he wasn't dead, but that he was risen and I believed. And then later Jesus appeared to us. He came to us and showed us who he was and he told us that he was going to send us into all the world to teach about who he was, to proclaim the good news of what he had done. And then later he sent his Holy Spirit. We were filled with it. We began to go and we began to teach. And that's how I ended up on the island of Patmos. Because I was teaching about who Jesus was. I was proclaiming and I was testifying to who he was. I was testifying that he was God. That he was with God in the beginning, and he was God. He was the ever-existent one. That he had come down and he had taken on a flesh, that he'd taken on a body, that he'd lived among us in fulfillment of the promises to David. That he had taught about the kingdom of God, and then he had been crucified, that he died, that he was buried, and on the third day he was raised again from the dead according to the scriptures. And then God raised him to his right hand and seated him at his right hand. And then he sent the Holy Spirit and that one day he will come again to judge. In short, I was teaching about Jesus, the saving King. And as I was teaching about who he was, not everyone liked to hear that message. There were those in power who didn't like the message because our fundamental message, the message that we taught was Jesus is Lord. Well, the emperor in Rome, whether it was Nero or Domitian, whoever reigned there on the throne, they didn't like it because they wanted everyone to proclaim Caesar is Lord. So when I said, and the people with me said, Jesus is Lord, we were protesting against who they were and what they did. And so we continued, and so we faced persecution. And I say we because it wasn't just me. It was my brothers, my sisters, those who were in the family of Jesus with me. Those who walk beside me, my compatriots, and we faced that persecution. But we also faced struggles because there were false teachers. There were people who were going around and saying that Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. They were saying that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. They were saying that there were other ways, there were other paths, there were other gods. We also suffered encounters because the followers of Jesus struggled with the world around them, with going back to their old way of life because Jesus had called us to a new way of living, a different way of life. And sometimes it was easy to slip back into those old ways, to be affected by what I might call the world, by the culture around us, the culture's views of money and power, of sexuality, of honor and shame, of the way we cared for the poor. And Jesus called us to a different way. So it was a struggle. It was a struggle for sure to be a follower, but we knew what we were doing. And so I preached, I testified, and the leader sent me to this island, this tiny little island, oh, I don't know, maybe 15 square miles, about 30 miles off what you would call the coast of Turkey. And so I was there one day. I was there a lot of days, actually. But I was there this one particular day, and I was walking along, and it was the Lord's Day. And we called it the Lord's Day. You call it Sunday. The first day of the week, because we honored that was the day that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And I was there, and I was in prayer. I was walking. I knew I was in the world, but I was with God. I was in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, I heard a voice. Well, I don't know if I could call it a voice. It was like thunder sounding, and I thought of how Moses talked about Mount Sinai and the thunder on the mountain, and I heard this voice like thunder calling to me, and the voice said, you are going to experience a vision, and I want you to write it down, and I want you to send it to the churches. I want you to send it to the churches of Asia, these seven churches that represent all the churches. And so I heard this voice speaking to me. And then I experienced what you could call a vision. And I don't know, it's hard to describe how to put something like that into the words. It was this amazing thing. And I just want to share just a tiny bit of it with you this morning. But there were images, there were sounds, so much. But I didn't think I could put it into words, but God called me to put it into words. And so I heard that voice, and then I turned around. And it was this sense where when you hear the voice of God, you have to turn. You have to reorient your life. You have to look in a new direction to see what he's calling you to. And I looked, and I turned, and I saw these seven lampstands, like the prophet Zechariah had spoken of. These seven lampstands that speak of the church of God, that speak of the people of God, and there were flames on them, the Spirit. But in the middle of those lampstands was one like the Son of Man, like Daniel had seen. This Son of Man, he had white hair and burning eyes and a robe of white and gold sashes. And I said, it's not necessarily exactly what I saw, but it's a picture, it's a symbol, it's this experience. And there in the midst of these lampstands was Jesus. And I knew then that Jesus was aware of what was going on in the churches. He knew about the people suffering. He knew about the pain. And he didn't go out, but there he was in the middle of it all. In the middle of it all, there Jesus stood. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet. I mean, it was terrifying. I mean, I'm trying to describe it. I tried to write it down, describe it, but it was overwhelming to be in the presence of God, to be in the presence of the Almighty, to be in the presence of the Eternal One. And I just fell in fear, and I knew what it was like. I'd heard the stories growing up, all the stories of people encountering messengers, of encountering the angels, of encountering God, and every time they fall on their feet, and there I was, down on my knees in front of him. And he reached out and he laid his hand on me. He said, don't be afraid. Fear not. For he said, I am the first and the last. In other words, he's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. There's nothing outside of his control, nothing outside of his power, because sometimes it can feel like that. Sometimes it can feel like the world's spinning out of control. There I was in exile. My friends, my family were being thrown to the lions. They were being executed. They were being put in jail, and it felt like everything was spinning out of control. But Jesus wanted me to hear him say, I am the first and I am the last. There is nothing that doesn't fall under my power. And really, that was the whole vision. And we could be here all day and into the next day, and I could tell you about all the incredible things I saw. But at the center of this vision was that Jesus was the victor. That in the midst of the trials and turmoils, and there will be trials, there will be challenges, that he is the victor. But I just want to spend a little bit of time on those next words that he said. Because he said then, I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And that's what we're gathered together to celebrate today. He says, I died. That Jesus died on a cross. That he was laid in a tomb. But the third day, God raised him from the dead. And now Jesus in his life, he had raised other people from the dead. His friend Lazarus. He had spoken and called Lazarus out of the tomb after 4 days. But this was different. Because Lazarus and the others died again later. But Jesus said, I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. This was resurrection, the beginning of the new creation, the beginning of all things being changed. And Jesus said, I am alive forever and ever. And he was inviting us into that, and that's what we're invited into, to experience this life, to know that when we put our faith in him, when we put our trust in him, when we give him our allegiance as the saving king, that we are alive forever and ever. But then he spoke these other words, and these are the words I really want us to hear. He says, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. You see, it wasn't just that Jesus had died and he snuck out somehow. But instead, he holds the keys, which means he can open death. He can open grave whenever he wants. It can't be sealed up. When Caesar, when the powers of the world put him to death, they thought they had finished him. And that's the way the powers of the world work. They think they can control. They think they can overwhelm. They think they can silence people with the power of death. My friends, my family, as they testify about Jesus, they're threatened with the power of death. They're threatened with execution. They're threatened with being thrown in the rings with the gladiators or with the animals to be eaten. But Jesus says, don't worry. I've got the keys. I've got the keys of death in the grave. In other words, they can put you in the grave. The state can put you in the grave. The powers can put you in the grave. Caesar can put you in the grave, but you aren't going to stay there. Because I've got the keys and I can open it up. And sometimes we can feel like the powers of the world are threatening us and saying, I've got this over you. And you can say, no, you don't, because Jesus has the keys. When sin comes and says, the consequence of your sin, the consequence of your rebellion, the consequence of your choosing to go a different way, when sin says, I've got you, the consequence of sin is death, you can say, no, Jesus got the keys. He can't hold you down. But there are so many other things that revolve around that, all these other fears and worries that we have. We have worries about being left alone. Worries that we won't have enough. Fear that we won't be enough. Fear of being abandoned. All these fears that go along. But the greatest of those fears is death. And if we don't have to be afraid of death because Jesus holds the keys, then we don't have to be afraid of any of those other things either. All those other worries, all those other concerns fall under that one thing because Jesus is the first and the last and he holds the keys of death and the grave, and we don't have to be afraid anymore. We don't have to worry. We can put our trust in him. Now, does that mean life will be easy? No. Like I said, the rest of this vision that I had was of troubles. It was of trial. It was of persecution. It was of struggles. It was what Jesus said to us when we were still alive, that in this world we'll have troubles. But he also said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And I think he was speaking to that because he holds the keys of death and the grave. And so I think about how Jesus preached an Easter sermon to me. He came to me because there I was on the island wondering about what I was doing and if I had done the right thing. I was wondering about who I was, and he came to remind me that it's not about who I am, but about who he is. That he is the first and the last, that he was dead and is alive forevermore, and that he is the one who holds the keys of death into the grave. And so I invite you to hear that message today. That whatever it is that you're afraid of, whatever it is that's got you worried, whatever concerns you have, and it may be the fear of death, it may be the loss of a loved one, it may be the pain you're experiencing, it may be loneliness, it may be wondering about your future, that there is one who holds the keys of death in the grave. There is one who holds the keys of the future. There is one who is the first and the last, who was dead and is alive forevermore. And he invites us. He invites us into his peace. He invites us into his joy. He invites us into his victory. Because when he says, I hold the keys of death in the grave, he's not saying they're just for me. He's saying for all who put their trust in me, all who give their life to me, I can open up. You don't need to be afraid anymore. And so Jesus offers us all those words this day to say, that whatever the powers of the world may say, whatever sin may say, whatever your doubts and fears may say, that we don't need to be afraid. Because he is the one who holds the keys of death and the grave. He was dead but is alive forever and ever. He is the first and the last. So may we put our trust, our hope, in the one who holds the keys of death and the grave. Amen.